Maybe that's it. We will call the Gage County Board of Supervisors meeting to order for Wednesday, January 7th, 2026 at 8:45 on the clock. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left. Attendance by observation: Adams, Claybaugh, Haxby, Tiemann, Lytle, Dorn, and Juergens. Any old business that the board has? If not, I'll declare 2025 session formally closed, sign and die, and hand this over to Don Hill, the clerk.
Okay, so now's the time that we'll take nominations for Board of Supervisor Chair. So, to entertain any nominations?
Nominate Eric Tiemann.
Sorry. Jerry, did you have?
I would like to have a unanimous ballot for Mr. Eric Tiemann for Chairman and Ms. Emily Hackney for Vice Chair.
Second.
Okay. Second by Dorn. So we're going to do both. Are there any other nominations then? So we're ceasing both? Okay. Any other discussion? Please vote. Okay. Motion carries 7-0. Congratulations, Eric and Emily.
I'd like to thank you guys again. I really do like working for you in this capacity. It's a great job being the supervisor. Fantastic job being the chairman. Thank you. I'll do my best for you. I do appreciate it.
You're going to have to improve. You brought Emily a gift this morning, not the rest of us.
That was a re-gift of an already gift. Well, we'll start the year with the consent agenda. Like I say, thank you, gentlemen and ladies. On the consent agenda, approve the general agenda, approve the minutes of the meeting held December 24th, 2025, approve claims through January 7th, 2026, the amount of $568,222.80, accept claim number 260100042 to Johnny's Welding in the amount of $241.24 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve changing November 11, 26 board date to November 12, 26. Approve notice on changing pay dates to earlier on some months to keep payroll and accounts payable within that calendar month. Approve appointing Patty Milligan to prepare levy requests. Approve appointing Don Hill to prepare the county budget. Approve designation of official county newspapers. Approve designating Gage County's website, www.gagecountyne.gov, as official method of providing notice of any meetings, public notices, or the like. Approve Don Hill as the NERMA contact person. Approve reappointing Mark Kunke as Gage County Highway Superintendent for 2026. Approve bank depositories, Adams State Bank, BMO Bank, Heartland Bank, First Interstate Bank, First National Bank of Omaha, First State Bank of Nebraska, NFIT Union Bank and Trust, NPATE, Pinnacle Bank, Premier Bank, Security First Bank, and Western National Bank. Approve District Court Summary Fee Report and Register of Deeds Fee Report for the month of December 2025. I'd ask for a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented, unless you have any items you want pulled off. We have a motion by Dorn, second by Juergens, to approve the consent agenda as presented. Just to add some clarification, the official newspaper in the consent agenda, which is item 9, would be the Beatrice Daily Sun. Any discussion on the consent agenda? If not, please vote. 7 in favor, motion carries. Regular agenda, approve or disapprove claim number 26010000042 to Johnny's Welding in the amount of $241.24. This would bring the total amount of claims paid through January 7th, 2026 to $568,464.04.
Move to
it. Second. Moved by Dorn, second by Lytle. Good reflex there, guys. Any discussion on this one? If not, please vote. 6 in favor with Jergens abstaining. Motion carries. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Welcome to this first official meeting of the year. We've got a few chairs filled there. Welcome back, Doug. Always nice to see you. Committee reports, building and grounds, winter lights, Mr. Dorn.
Dave's here.
Morning, Mr. Jones.
Good morning. I just had one thing. The winter lights, we do have a committee meeting this afternoon, and usually we do run the building and the trees until the middle of January, but this year with this nice weather, we decided we're taking the lights off the trees today, and we'll leave the building on until the middle of January. So it's too hard to pass up this opportunity to take them down while the ground's dry and nice weather. So that's about all I had. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. Equalization, we'll have a little bit more update. We had a brief meeting, went through some administrative items for the year, but we will be discussing the reassessment here in a little while. Finance and insurance, Mr. Jergens.
We have a rare one. We have two large ticket items. The first one, City Beatrice, quarterly EMS services, $45,000. The second, Ace Irrigation, Eaton Metals, Culverts, $12,594. That's it.
All right. Veterans Service Officer. You were hiding behind deck. I didn't see you.
Good morning. Happy New Year.
Good morning.
Veterans Committee met on December 18th with members Junker, Ty, and Stady present. Excused were President Hardy and Member Paul for the group amendments. We had two new Nebraska Veteran Aid Fund requests, one for $1,488 for utilities and bills.
Okay, could you push your button on just below that microphone?
Yep, thank you. That. One for $1,467.76 for utilities and bills. Out of the county fund, we had $5,370 for Cinex for a vehicle repair, $227.58 BPW, $123 for BPW for utility shutoffs. Deceased list, we had 17 veterans pass away, one from World War II, 9 from Vietnam, 2 Korean War vets, 3 Gulf War vets, and 2 peacetime vets. The motor vehicle tax exemption that went into effect on 1 January. We have over 1,200 veterans here in the county. We are getting through all them, getting them updated in the system. So hopefully I'll Lori out. With the homestead exemption, they went to a 5-year eligibility verification, so we should see less requests this year. Ron and I have completed our NAC VSO annual quiz and DAV accreditation requirements. We have submitted our claim for state dues. Both trainings this year are in Kearney. Rhonda will go this spring, and I will go in the fall. I will be attending VFW training at Lincoln January 29th. And that is all I got for the quarter.
Any questions for Mr. Beck? That'd be really nice.
It's been several months since we've had a veteran to award up front here. Is that something that we've discussed a little bit? Is there? I know we've been through several, and a lot of guys don't want to be awarded or, you know, don't want to be brought up here. But, you know, has there been some discussion? Do we have some guys that we can start looking at?
It's funny you bring that up because there's a lot of people through the meetings that I've attended and stuff like that. And I've asked and asked, and they just don't want to come forward.
Yeah. Yeah.
We may have to just try a little harder too, nominating people, and we're losing them. I hate to say this. There's one that I had asked for several times, and he's passed now, and it's too late now. And
I mean, when I'm seeing three from the Gulf War, which I served in, and I mean, the time's coming. Our Vietnam vets are, I mean, unfortunately, falling off like flies, and it's, I mean, it's sad to say, but World War II. There's one vet left in the county, and I've reached out to the family, and it's just they don't want to get recognized. So, I mean,
They generally don't want to be. We've had a lot that we've put up, and they haven't wanted to be, and we've pushed through anyway. A lot of pride there and a lot of humility as well.
And there is, and maybe it's something if they feel more comfortable, if it's something at a luncheon that, as a county board, you guys join me and recognize them out there in their comfort zone instead of bringing them in here. And
I think that's a good idea. I mean, if there's some way we can start, you know, recognizing.
No, I completely agree with you. And I know Scott was big on it. Phil was big on it.
Yeah.
I've tried and tried and tried. I mean, in the 10 months I've been in the position, and it's just tough, so.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be here. If there's something, it's nice to do it here with the press and everybody involved and whatever. But, you know, yeah, if it's going to one of the clubs and for a lunch, I'd be in for doing it. I think I saw an article one of the last World War I vets passed away here within the last couple of weeks. It was like maybe the last one that was alive, possibly. I saw some type of an article about it. So, you know, we're getting, you know, and World War II is getting, like you said, one left in the county. You know, a great generation that's passed and passing. And if there's some way that we can, you know, say thank you.
That many years later, though, we've had some really hard, strong men that have had a hard time with memories and stuff that come up here, and I totally understand why, even decades later, it's something they don't want.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's just, I mean, the last World War II vet, I mean, I spoke to the granddaughter, and she just said it's something that, unless she's seen the stuff hanging on the wall, he doesn't talk about it service.
So. Yeah.
And, I mean, Vietnam guys and those World War II guys, I mean, they've seen a lot and dealt with a lot, and so
yeah.
But so you guys know, I am trying to get the veterans recognized because it is very important to me and the community. So
yeah, I appreciate that. So,
all right,
thank you, sir.
That's all I have. Thank you.
Human resources and employee relations. We had a little bit of talk over negotiations Monday. Law enforcement, emergency management, Mr. Lytle.
Lisa.
Good morning, everybody. I just have a couple dates that I'd like to share with you. Been partnering with the National Weather Service. Yearly, we have the Storm Spotters training. We have that confirmed for February 26th at the Homestead Educational Center. It is open to all ages. And so what we find, we get a lot of Boy Scout groups that come in. But it's not specific to storm spotting. As much as it is learning about weather and how, you know, cloud formations and things of that nature. So it really kind of targets some of that information that as refreshers, but also for our kids and younger ages to learn too. And the other thing is we're partnering with the National Weather Service for the poster contest. We've been fortunate here. We've had three winners in the Wymore Southern school district. That's for third graders. And so we push that information out to all the schools, and then NEMA and National Weather Service selects that. But those are a couple dates for the emergency management side of things. And then we're planning a planning and zoning meeting for January 22nd. So that'll be a 7 o'clock meeting. So just some dates to share. Thank you.
spotting training.
Yep, storm spotting training. I can give you a flyer, Emily. The Sheriff's Office is just pushing it out, and we'll push it out on some other links. But and then poster contests. I'll give you that as well for your information. Yep. 20 seconds
is only.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Lisa.
Yep.
Gus, you got anything today?
It's all good.
Really?
Weird.
That's two passes in a row.
Period.
It is. Yeah, what's up?
I think
that's the calm before the storm.
I do want to say that we did receive a letter that, you know, the equipment that we bought has been installed and functioning, and sounds like that process, Gus doesn't seem to want to come up and talk about it, but it sounds like that process went well, and our deputies are using the equipment, and it should help them in their processes.
Is the license reader is all working well?
You're one word learned, Judge.
My understanding, everything's up and running. It's just we're waiting for personnel to come down and train to make everything official, but that is part of the package that is there. It was a long process. I'm going to tell you what, I never seen many people get involved, from the upfitters in Omaha to our county IT people to three people of the state, and the people that run the companies have to come down and do their things. It was a long, drawn-out process, so hope stuff stays up and working for a while anyway. So, but, yes, it should be going, so from understanding.
And what John said, everything went smooth.
It went very well. Axon was very good to work with. They almost got monopoly on stuff anymore. But I did have some training, and I watched them stop somebody out of my office. There was a Russian individual they had. And I think I'm probably going to try to budget over the next few years the translation portion of it. My God, that was really a blessing. Both people have that, so they can communicate with that guy. So yeah. I'm trying to look at doing that.
Yep. So it'll be a couple weeks.
Agreed.
Anything else, Emily? No?
E-citations.
No. E-citations, not as far as doing anything different. I'll talk. Yeah.
So, what I got?
Thank you, gentlemen. Road and Bridge, Mr. Juergens.
This is Vice Chair.
Mark?
He's had a pretty easy this winter all day.
Let's not jinx it. In the great words of Miss Haxby, we dug things, we hauled things, and worked things. That's it. No, the guys have been pretty busy. Crack sealing, working on the bridge maintenance list. Got guys out looking out for where we can put some of that riprap that we have stockpiled in certain areas. Myself, been working on questions. Want to call that dust pod people. I've got some pricing per square foot for somebody to come in with a soil reclaimer to see what that would be, and a roller and all that stuff. Still thinking of a couple questions before I call the dust pods. I did call that Jackson with Jackson Training over in Tobias. Had a nice little conversation with him, probably 30-40 minutes. Those notes went really well. Looks like he would suggest doing two levels of what his training would be. I think he had six or seven different levels. He suggested starting with level 2 and 3 would probably benefit our operators quite well. So he said he can fit up about 10 people in a class. And it's anything above 10 people, it's an additional cost on that. So
I suggested to some board members, too, possibly to go out just to watch and learn a little bit, too, so that they could spot things and see why we're having issues there. He thought level 2 and level 3, depending on the experience of our operator, or how would he place them out?
The level 2 was an experienced operator. It's a 2-day class. the first day, half day is in the classroom, the other half day is in the field, same with the second day. And the level three would be your super elevations, heels, and intersections.
That's right. I read that on Monday.
How to deal with that. He said usually that third level is also him teaching the operators to pull shoulder correctly and getting their slopes and everything correctly, their grades. So
intersections and supers are tough, too. I mean, I don't care who you are. That's just any tips we could have to make them better. And we have them stuck all over the county still.
What's happening? I didn't have a date confirmed.
Yeah, any questions for Mr. Kunkey?
I also got to say thank you guys for covering me on Monday for that point.
Hopefully it went well.
It would.
We're hoping, just the hoping for good news in January here yet. We've been waiting. And then on the two Christ Lutheran and Odell Road, I think they've approved it. And somehow the DRGR system has been down, but we have to get in and approve on our end. Finish NEPA, and then hopefully mill and overlay this summer for that one. We'll keep trying.
Christ, or Odell Blacktop, is that in Juergens District?
Wow. I don't remember.
Oh, thank you, Mark. I'm sorry. Yeah, probably. Up next, I'd ask for a motion to approve appointing Amanda Fanning as Gage County Attorney.
So moved to approve.
Second.
Motion by Adams. Who has a second on that one?
There's three of us, okay.
I'm going to give it to Lytle. along with this, I'll say Amanda's been working hand-in-hand with the board and planning and zoning over the last multiple years, but as Roger has gotten closer to retirement, even more so, she's got a good history here, good continuity between the attorney's office and the board, as well as the rest of the county. Highly recommended by everyone that's worked with her here and in the building as well, but I think this is a very good choice, just a great continuation of what we're already doing.
Thank you.
Any other discussion on Amanda? If not, I would ask you to vote. 7 in favor. You got it really easy. Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
And that'll be effective as of today.
I swear at her later. Should we have asked some harder questions?
Possibly. Do we have to swear her in?
We will.
All right, so have one of the judges swear her in.
I think Diane can do it.
Okay.
After
wonderful.
Let's do it.
Cameras and everything there.
I'm going to skip over the next item as we have Lorene here. We'll start with discuss and approve or disapprove visitor improvement grant eligible dollar cap. There's been discussion there. There were some items, or there's been items that came in over $25,000. We've awarded some over $25,000. The former cap was always at $25,000. So we've had internal discussions whether we increase that or not. Lower cap means more potential recipients. Higher cap means higher dollars to a potential project. So there's a pros and cons both ways. Would we like to just discuss this before a motion, because we'd have to put a dollar amount in it? Ms. Axby.
I just had an idea just to roll by. I was thinking about this last couple of days. Had a lot of time sitting in a planner, but instead of just setting like a clear cut $50,000, because ideally you're getting to those bigger numbers, you have bigger projects. So maybe if we did 50% to $25,000, and maybe 25% funding up to $50,000, that way those go farther. You're talking about bigger projects then. Just an idea, like a tiered system instead of just a straight dollar amount.
Mr. Lytle.
Yeah, I like that idea. I would suggest, when you build a shop for your combine, you build a shop that's 20% bigger than your combine, so that way you are always able to put a bigger combine in 10 years down the road, right? Yeah, and you never build them big enough. You know, where we have requests that are getting up around 50,000 now, I would suggest that we would go higher than that with that number. Doesn't mean that we have to grant that, but it gives you the ability to work towards it. I think, you know, between our board, who has to approve anything that tourism brings here, you have lots of good conversations at the tourism. But the individuals that are on the tourism board, and I've been there a lot over the years, have a lot of good conversations about, first off, you know, okay, is this a good project for spending X amount of dollars on? And then, you know, they have lots of good conversations about that, and then they bring it to us. I'm saying if you make that number 70 or 75 on the, you know, up to number on the second tier, I don't think that that's a terrible bad idea. You know, you have times where that account swells to where you've got a lot of money in there and you don't have very many people asking for that money. And if we have an opportunity to really influence a good project, I think that we have to have that ability to get that, because that money, as you know, putting heads on beds does us no good sitting in a bank account. You know, when we get it out into the community as much as we can, you know, it's putting heads on beds. So that's my take. But I like your idea. I just think maybe on that other end, we put a little bit higher number than.
I can see both sides of that too. I see your point, and I'm not necessarily opposed to it. But then I think we discussed 1 year we only brought in, I think, was it $49,000 or something like that for those funds.
Last year.
So, I mean, that would be.
I would say that's in our average. That's got to be close. It's around 50 a year.
Yeah, it varies a lot. I was going to say 60 is probably closer to the average.
You would know better than I. It's in that ballpark.
Yeah.
So yeah. Just, you know, if you did do something like that, you would wipe out an entire year's worth in one application.
Right.
And I can see, you know, these bigger projects, yeah, would probably use it and it'd benefit. I'm just. I guess that's why we have a really good committee. But, I mean, I don't know, Lorene, your opinion, I mean, this you'd have to work within these caps that we set, too.
There are no losers here, because we're already starting out at 25. So this is totally a matter of how we want to adjust, I should say we, but actually you folks, to just, again, try to benefit as many people as possible and as effectively as possible. So I think all of these, I think the very fact we're discussing this, the fact that there is acknowledgement that the old amount isn't always the right amount for some of these larger projects, and the fact that you're thinking creatively about what are some options, I'm thrilled. I'm just really glad that we're having this discussion and that this is another opportunity for people here in Gage County who are doing the right thing, trying to get heads on beds and trying to enhance and, you know, our big thing is we've got history. And nobody can take that away from us. They can't export it. All we can ever do is forget it. You know, we can forget it ourselves and not do a good job. But otherwise, we've got some real opportunities here, and these funds are what help enhance that and make great things possible. Lorene, that's pretty exciting out the window, isn't it?
Yeah, a lot of science. Lorene, what is your opinion on it? Would you like to see a lower amount so that we spread that out? Because everyone's going to apply for the top dollar constantly, it appears. That's what we see again and again. There are a few that come in below. Would you like to see a lower amount so that we can give a grant to more organizations? Or would you like to see it where we basically max out on one and expel the funds to one project?
I'd like to see something in between. I don't really want to max out on one. That doesn't seem fair. On the other hand, we have not come near dispersing all of the money in any recent time. So there are funds there. There really aren't, even though costs have gone up, by the time you're getting to a match, normally it's not, those requests are not that big. This is, you know, it's been creeping up, but this was an unusual one, and one of the reasons why we said it's an unusual request, maybe an unusual amount. And so there's really, like I said, there's really a couple things going on there. wanting to do what we can for these significant projects, but on the other hand, realizing that we have had funds. We don't want to lose those outside of Gage County in some way. And so, again, making that available. And the other thing that I didn't talk about today, but that is the fact that with the expansion of this to not just capital projects, but to maintenance projects, we do have the possibility of more people requesting because everybody's got maintenance.
And that was a state change.
That's
Mr.
a
Jerkins.
State change. That is not anything we dreamt of.
Just everybody go back 10 years, the cost of construction, labor, and everything probably has doubled.
I was going to say welding's more than doubled, I've noticed.
That, and see, that's what we were dealing with as well.
So, you know, I mean, think about that. You know.
We do. That's why we're over here with you now, because that was happening. We were seeing it happen in front of us. We were seeing the funds that we had not buy as much as they used to for people and not be as significant a part of the project just because their costs had gone up so much.
And I know this is more for the public, not for the board, but these funds are not collected from the Gage County taxpayer necessarily. These are from lodging dollars, a percentage put upon hotel stays, bed and breakfast, things like that. These tourism dollars are specifically allocated by the state so that we try to enhance tourism. So these are not dollars that we want to be stingy with necessarily. We want to be responsible with them, but they're specifically to be used to try to bring in more tourism.
What is the percent of the lodging tax? What is it?
Two, isn't it? Isn't it two and two?
It's two and two, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Two and two?
Yeah.
Another way to look at it, you know, I'm sure stays and hotels and everything has all went up too, so then the income should be increasing also.
Yeah, those prices have obviously gone up, and with it being a percentage, the dollars that come in, and we've had an incredible amount of motel traffic. We're in the heart of pipeline business in the country right now, so in the next several years, we're going to see an increase in pipeline business. You're seeing that with the little pop-up camper parks all over. And I don't know, we probably should be addressing that through planning and zoning because those also fall under this. Mm-hmm. And they're all over, and I don't know if they're registered or not, but they keep going in around the county.
We hope so. And this group, we have been known to work through you folks to say to the state, please pull up see where you're receiving money in Gage County, because we do want to see that money collected and paid in as it should, and of course coming back.
Do we have a list of that? I mean, it might be good for us to see that. We all may know right off the bat there's some there that aren't being.
That would be a Lisa question to see if we have them all accounted for, or possibly Ms. Milligan. I know there are several of these that have expanded over the last year, just because of pipeline business.
Something you said when you talked last time was that we're not having many applicants. What can we do to change that? I've thought about that some. Where in our process are people not aware of it? Do they consider it challenging? Why do we not have many people requesting assistance?
You know, I wish I could just give you a really clever, quick,
I expect
right answer. Until recently, I have not been at the foreground of having people approach. Right now, thanks to some of the suggestions you folks have made, following up with people to make sure they knew what the process was. I was mentioning that some of the tools haven't been working as well. I discovered that when I got ready to fill in one myself and discovered I had to do it by hand, that I couldn't go online and just fill in the form. Well, that's what most of us expect to do today. So there's some updating and some things that we need to look at just in the process itself. Misunderstanding about what we can get money for, that's another one.
Loreen, sorry to interrupt you. Ms. Milligan's there, and Ms. Milligan just walked in the room also. Do you two, one of the two of you, have a list of bed and breakfasts or other places that are paying currently in on lodging tax?
I don't know anything about lodging tax. Would that be Lori?
I didn't know if they have to register. I mean, the hotels and stuff are fairly obvious, but...
Yeah. So I do not have a specific list, but it should be available for the Nebraska Department of Revenue. On the revenue side, lodging tax normally. Like, we pay lodging tax out at the fairgrounds as well for any campers that stay out there. So all your campsites are also... part of that. I think as far as specific bed and breakfasts, unless they've been approved by planning and zoning, I do not.
City of Beatrice, all of their campsites, they pay lodging in? Mm-hmm.
If they stay longer, wasn't the rule 30 days?
Yes. Then they lose it.
Yeah, then they're no longer considered a entity that pays the same way with hotels, correct?
If right. It's a 30 so we day want everybody to check out on day 29.
And then it can start over.
It started over, right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I just wrote down just some ideas based on Gary. He talked about a higher number. He did 50% up to the $25,000, which is what we're currently doing. That's a $50,000 project. If we did 35% up to $50,000, that's a $142,000 project. And then 20% up to $75,000, that would be a $375,000 project. So you'd have three different tiers and work within that.
I don't think that's a terrible idea.
We can make it work. And besides, remember, you're going to be looking at everything we do. So it's all coming back here to you.
Because they're there doesn't mean we can't change it. That's terrible. We make a rule so that we can change it. But we can work within those limits.
We could try this for a while.
Right.
If we find that it needs tweaking later, we can adjust it again.
Yep.
And I know this board well enough that if somebody comes in with a $350,000 project and asks for $75,000, and they feel there's better resources, or we don't have the resources, or whatever, they'll be honest right there, and they'll say, hey, listen, let's change this application, and let's not be $75,000, let's be $40,000, because that's what we feel like we can expend out of this fund and take to the county board and get passed. So I feel like that gives them flexibility to go through that process.
It allows a higher dollar amount for larger projects.
And I will say the Tourism Committee as well, they've never gone to where they've expelled all their funds. They always keep money there. So this has never been an issue where they've overcommitted or anything else. This has always been done very responsibly. You've talked about that in the past.
Yes.
We know that, but just for the information of the public.
I think in kind of what... what Lorene was saying the other day too. I'm thinking back to when I was on the city council way back when, and I think that was the last time we were actually bumping up against a zero balance.
It was.
And in that case, there was a couple projects that came in that just had to wait till the next year.
Well, and we'd always kept back 25% of what we had. As I said the last time, we never actually spent down to zero. We kept back, like I said, that amount with the understanding that if something came up. Because, again, you folks are completely in charge of this. And for example, this didn't happen at that time, but if the Catalan's Ball had come up and all of a sudden we had needed to have buses, we don't want you to go and say, well, let's go to the lodging tax. And they say, oh, sorry, we just expended the last time, last month. No, we never we never wanted you to have that experience with us. We never wanted to set up that kind of a lose-lose situation.
Up to $75,000. Yeah, 20% of the 20% of the project. Okay, I'm going to say it again just so everybody's on the same page. We can.
It took me a minute to get
it. Yeah, so what I was thinking is 50%.
Are you going to make that as a motion so you don't have to repeat it all again?
Oh, that's a good idea. I move to change the visitor improvement grant eligible dollar cap to 50% match up to $25,000.
When you say up to 25, you mean 50% up to $50,000 project, which would be a $25,000 grant.
Yes.
Okay.
So I don't know, how do you want me to phrase that?
So see, 50% up to 50% for a $50,000 project.
Sure, yeah. And then it'd be 35%. What, I don't remember.
Up to $150,000 project?
142.
I don't like that. Let's make that 150.
Fine.
Yeah, let's not make the math more complicated than it has to be.
And then 20% up to 400,000?
375.
Let's make easy math.
400. But anyways, the dollar caps would be $25,000 if your project is $50,000 or less. It'd be, I don't know, I don't know what percent that. 50,000.
If you're at $150,000 on the next tier, you'd be 52.5.
Okay, yep.
So it'd be close, and then on a $400,000 project at 20%, you'd be
80.
So, I mean, it gives potential for an increase there.
I would leave it at the 375 and keep it.
Okay, so your motion is 50% up to $50,000 project, 35% up to 35% for up to $150,000 project, and 20% up to a $375,000 project.
Yep.
Second.
Well, I'm sure glad we did that once. We don't have to do that again.
Motion by Haxby, second by Lytle. I'd like to change all that.
I have one more quick question. Is there a limitation on, so, I mean, there's going to be very few people that can afford those larger projects. Is there like a limitation on like so many per, like one every 2 years or something for a specific entity getting these grants?
Right now it's one per year.
One per year?
Up to 50% of
the project. Again, that was approved in the past.
On those larger ones, I would almost like to see that once every two or three, just because you could eat that. I mean, you're going to eat an entire year's or a little more if you max that grant out. It's just to make sure that we're not hitting the same person every year. You see what I'm saying?
I see. That's why we came back with the 1 year, because we had people showing up every 6 months at one point, and we stopped all of that.
Especially if you max it out, I'd say 3 years and then two.
Do you want to add that to this? Because as we're making rule changes, this would be the time.
Once every 2 years is
every other year they could wipe it if they have a big enough project.
Right.
So
you're just not going to see that.
Can't apply for 2 years after you receive a grant?
Or the large ones?
Yeah, I'd say 2 years.
Oh, yeah, you have one of these and it can be gone like that.
Yeah, that's why I said I'd want to, especially if you're receiving that higher dollar amount, they've got to wait 2 or 3 years.
It's a good buffer for them so that they don't have to say, oh, sorry, no, you can't, because it's only been a year. It's easy for them to say, hey, our rule is every 2 years.
Would you like to add that to 2 years or 3 years to your motion?
It would be contingent, but not for the smaller ones she was asking.
What do you think?
I think for the big ones, it's like that. For the smaller ones, especially if we're dealing with a capital project and then possibly a maintenance project, the ones that are up 25.
Could you keep it in the tiers and say 1 year, 2 year, 3 years?
Sure. That makes a lot of sense.
Okay, let's do that.
You want to add that to your motion?
Plus, it'd be easy to remember.
Yeah. 1 year, 2 year, 3 years.
Add it to your motion. Mr. Lytle, would you be all right with adding that 1 year, 2 year, 3 year to each dollar amount?
I don't see an issue with it. I don't think there's any unintended consequences that come from that.
If there is, we can change it without a lot of effort.
Yeah. I don't nothing I can think of that would create any issues with. Yeah.
Any other discussion on this item? Right now we have a motion by Haxby, second by Lytle, to break funding on our tourism grants into three tiers. We would pay 50% up to a 50-year project, have to wait at least 12 months to reapply, 35% up to 35% on a $150,000 project. Those could only be applied for every 2 years. Up to 20% on a $375,000 project or more, and you could only apply for that tier every 3 years. If you're awarded any of these, can you apply for another tier?
Why do you make things complicated?
Just thinking about what happens, because that's the first thing that happens.
People are at home thinking these things up.
I'm going to say no.
I would go along with that. Let's just say the intention is not to apply for another one also, then. I don't know that we make a hard rule, because there may be a time when it does work, and we can always approve or disapprove them as they come to the board.
I leave that at the discretion of the...
Jurgens, do you have something?
No.
Oh, I didn't know if you were...
I'm just itchy.
Any other discussion on this? If not, I would ask you to vote 7 in favor. Lorene, thank you for the work you and the Tourism Board do.
You're welcome. Well, thanks for all the help, and I don't think this will be the last time you see me.
I'm sure not. And with that, we'll walk right into our next agenda item. Approve or disapprove visitor improvement grant to the Beatrice Youth Recreation, Inc. in the amount of $50,000 for the Hannibal Park Ball Field Initiative. We've discussed this before. This is a $642,000 project expanding out our current resources in the city of Beatrice. We do have a requirement that our Gage County Tourism is listed, and we were given some examples by Mr. Adams where those we are listed on there and recognized for those dollars. It's a nice community tie together as we're giving dollars out to these they're not charities, but these facilities.
Move to approve.
Motion by Haxby.
Second
by Lytle to approve the visitor improvement grant to the Beatrice Youth Recreation, Inc. in the amount of $50,000. We do have that grant application here if anyone would like to see it. This will be a nice addition to Hannibal Park. No discussion? Please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Our last agenda item is discussion on professional services related to the residential and commercial property reconfiguration. This is, maybe have Patty come up. I'm going to leave you all for this item, not because I don't want to hear about it, but because I've got mud coming. Terry's going to take over for me while I'm gone. Ms. Haxby, thank you all again. I do appreciate your confidence in me. And with
Terry, Rule 21, do you have me pull that out?
Beat up on him. We're going to change that.
Do we want to take a 5-minute break while we wait on
this? Yeah, I don't know.
Why don't we just take a 5-minute break here while we wait for our assessors to come down? All right, we will reconvene at 9:42 with Eric had to take off and Terry fixed fence. We'll have to remind him of Rule 21 next time. All right. Patty and Derek, discussion of professional services relating to residential and commercial property configuration.
So I'm going to kind of let Derek take it over. Basically, we've been doing...
Push your button.
Which one?
The bigger one.
The talking button.
Clear to the right.
Down at the bottom.
Derek, you have to hit yours up there.
His is on.
It was, but it shut off.
Yeah,
hit it again.
No, you
there
should
you go.
Oh. It was on already.
There you go.
Oh, okay. Now it'll stay on, right? Is mine on?
Yep.
Okay.
You're good.
So basically, we're just kind of bringing up what the what do you want to call it, recalibration or whatever. I'm going to let Derek talk about what we're doing with Beatrice and go over kind of where we're at and what we're doing paper-wise and go from there. So I'm going to just let him kind of take it from here.
Yeah, I'm Derek Niederklein with MIPS, and we provide software services for all of the offices here, including the assessor's office, and that was new in the last couple of years that the assessor went on to the computer assisted mass appraisal program that MIPS provides. As part of that, the system has a lot more capabilities than their old system had, and so we converted their existing data into our structure the best that we could. And as part of that, Patty requested that we fine-tune that for the small towns last year, which we did. We went out and gathered property information, and we listed those properties within the structure that our software uses, which is the Marshall and Swift valuation structure, which is the standard structure in the state of Nebraska. And in doing that, it allows the computer-assisted mass appraisal program to appraise the properties in a mass appraisal environment, basically. So instead of going property by property, we create valuation formulas that can apply to broad swaths of property based on sale information. It is the definition of mass appraisal that assessors do, but it can be applied consistently and avoid issues of equalization. If a similar property is listed correctly, it has to have a similar value when it's valued as part of the mass appraisal program. And so we've been working on this effort. We're bringing, and this is based on a quote from, I think, May of last year, but we're bringing this forward in the form of a contract now, mostly because my colleagues at NACO, the Nebraska Association of County Officials, said this should probably be in contract form. We're the Technology and Services Division of the Nebraska Association of County Officials, which is owned by the counties. And so it's a little different relationship probably than an outside vendor. We work for you because we're owned by you. But considering this is getting to the level of when we did the small towns, we worked with the assessor's office, and we just kind of kept adding on more duties, billing at our hourly rate. And now that we're getting to Beatrice and the entire commercial class of property, it's getting to a scale that seems more appropriate to be in a contract form.
I think that's something our newly appointed here county attorney is going to have to review.
Yeah.
So
have you created a proposed contract based on what you've done with other counties?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, it's the form we've used in
so
the other ones.
You'll forward that to our clerk, and we can review and
yep,
eventually
perfect.
Get on the agenda.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Any questions or anything for?
So you don't have to go door to door anymore?
Yeah, we are. Yeah. We are going door to door to visit with the property owner, but basically to update photos, take measurements, and verify the condition of the property.
This is about, I've spent a few hours figuring this out, and when it's done, I think it's going to be about the fairest way we can do this possible. It takes a lot of the human error or the, I think this one is valued at this, but then the next day you don't know if you're necessarily going to be picking that same value. And so this allows the computer system, once you put that in, you know, you give it is it a one story? Is it what kind of siding? What kind? And it will calculate that based on current market value of those products.
Yeah.
And then it's depreciated based on age, location, and that economic depreciation scale is based on sales in different areas.
Yep.
So I think when it's all done, it will be very fair. I asked when I sat down, I talked to him about this. I'm a numbers person. I like to see things in charts. And I said, so in theory, when we're done, if you plot that in a chart, it should be pretty linear, you know, going up as you go based on age.
Yeah.
And he showed me a couple different charts, and I think it was Claytonia and Wymore were the two you showed me, and they did that. I mean, those dots were really close. Now, there is going to be some, I mean, the protest process is meant to be a good thing. So there's human error in the input part of it, right? So maybe somebody accidentally put that it had brick siding, or I don't know, some things might happen when it gets inputted. And it's not meant to be like intentional like that. We just want to make sure, protest, let us know, it's corrected, and it usually will fall back within that graph.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good explanation of it. It's a process that the law requires that assessments comply with professionally accepted mass appraisal standards, and this absolutely does that. mass appraisal practice in its purest form.
It should make things easier moving forward to, if those houses are in the system at a certain level, unless they change their house or, put new siding on or add an addition, it will auto adjust based on current market values.
Right. Yeah.
So anybody have any questions for Derek or Patty?
And so basically a little bit, Derek, would you just kind of like, we never used to have like iPads in the field and the QR codes and those kinds of things. So it's very helpful when the taxpayer, the owner, fill out questionnaires from those QR codes, call our office. I mean, we've got some things going on with not being able to get into properties or there's, that ongoing mm-hmm. that they're looking into.
Yeah. So, yeah. Just describing that briefly.
Technology.
We're actually kind of mentioned like some of the human error. We've really, really gotten good. My colleague Alice manages our field people and she's gotten exceptionally good at finding the human error. So it's almost non-existent where if it's brick, it's listed as vinyl. We're pretty much, not perfect, but it's remarkable to me how good we've been to eliminate the human error. But when valuation error creeps in, it's what you don't know about the property, right? You don't always see the crack in the back in the foundation, basement finish. You can't see through the property, right? And so that's usually protest is a healthy part of the process. That's when people come in and they say, you made your judgment based on facts that you saw from the outside, but I have additional facts that you need to consider in this valuation. And in doing that, we adjust the listing, and then the valuation model calibrates it accordingly. We use technology. We're using iPads out in the field. I've got a map right now that you can see where people are, the pictures that they're taking, and my colleague Alice is in Lincoln, and she pulls them up as they're collected and verifies the information. She's to the point where she's just spot checking now because they've been pretty. Solid with their judgments, but we're reviewing that information in real time. We leave a door tag with a QR code that the property owners can either call the assessor's office or go to the website and then answer information about their property, things that we can't see from the outside.
And as you said, you guys have trained for this and you know what you're looking for. But there is always the potential of something getting missed, and that's
absolutely.
Why the protests are never meant to be a bad thing. It's meant to just clarify where we're at to make sure that it's going to be fair when those values are produced. So with that, does anybody have any other questions? Thank you for coming in.
All right.
We'll
Thank
have
you.
The county attorney review that and have it on the agenda. Thank you. Does anybody have anything else for today's meeting? If not, we will adjourn at 9:52.